Well, hello everyone, this is the Artwood Podcast and my name is Jenny Daniels and I'm here with an art advisor today.
Tracy Canelli.
Hello. We are both in Los Angeles, but you don't live here. You come from New York and you've been visiting Frieze Art Fair.
Yes.
So what brought you to the Frieze Art Fair?
Well, it's part of my job to go to the fairs regularly, search for acquisitions, stay up to date with the art market, culture, what's happening in general. And then on top of that, I mean, Frieze specifically, it's a very exciting first edition of the LA branch.
Well, can you say something already about it overall? Do you think it's just another art fair, or do you see anything specific about this edition of Frieze?
Well, I really enjoyed, first off, the excitement and the energy, in particular the opening day, but the rest of the week as well. There seems to be a real sincere interest in arts and culture here. And for such a small fair, which it was this time, quite smaller than the other editions, I feel like it really made a huge impact on the city. And we had a great entertainment crossover. Obviously, that was part of the press ahead of time that Frieze was acquired by a large entertainment company. So, of course, they have those connections. But the fact that we had A-listers, everyone selfieing with Brad Pitt and various other celebrities during the entire time, and really seeing that they cared about the art was wonderfully refreshing. I think we're seeing something that's the start of something very positive for art in general.
I'm glad to hear that. So how about the art? Were you surprised about anything, or did you see pretty much what you always see when you travel to all these art fairs around the world?
There's always a little bit of both. I think the presentations that catered to a certain sense of theatricality, especially a connection with old Hollywood, really stood out. I mean, Catherine Andrews at David Cordancy, that solo presentation centered around the Black Dahlia was really poignant, I felt. What else? Mike Kelly's installation, a single presentation at Hauser & Wirth that also worked well with both the body of work and our interaction with the fair.
Yeah, I think that's what, because what we're talking about now is the booth and everything. Because I thought the backlot was an interesting addition to the whole thing.
Well, yes. I mean, it's definitely an interesting addition. I think it's something that what we were talking about earlier with the commercialization and the degree to which we're comfortable with art and being blatantly a commercial enterprise, knowing that in order to support art, galleries need to sell. And going into that back lot, it's so much fun. But the fake New York in Hollywood, the classic Roberta's Pizza, which is usually a Frieze New York signature, now also being placed there. I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a little eerie how seamlessly the commercial, the real, what the spaces were designed to do, fit into the fake sets. So definitely warped with our sense of reality. But the performances there were fun. I mean, the Tio Segal and the psychic art advisor. Those were wonderful presentations. I don't know that anyone could think that that's not fun.
I think this is really something that everyone will say about Frieze. Everyone had a really good time. It was fun. So as I was coming out the other day, it started raining heavily and this lady working for Frieze is giving me a poncho, and I thought that was brilliant. So, you know, you just turn everything into something fun and interesting and all. And LA is very, very good at providing a good party.
That is for sure.
They know how to cater for it. They're really good service.
Entertainers. They entertain us.
Yeah. And I don't mind that.
No,
I honestly don't mind that at all. I think the whole art scene, when it gets, you know, you walk into a gallery and someone's staring down at their computers, I'm bored with that. I think that's
enough.
I think it's time to smile and to be engaged with what we're doing and have fun with it.
Of course. Well, ultimately, that's one of the main things that people want out of collecting. The nature of fun, of course, can manifest in different ways, but yes. Fun, something exciting, something.
let's bridge over to the art advising that you do. So first of all, did you buy anything for a client at Frieze?
Yes. I'm not allowed to tell.
Of course you're not. But did you find, is it something that you think that you could have acquired somewhere else, or was this very specific to this art fair?
I mean, yes, I can acquire it somewhere else. It wouldn't have the same flow. Any acquisition always has, there's a timing and a flow to each one, right? In particular, remote sales, when we're looking at acquisitions, they're going to be at a more modest price point than juicier sales. If you're going at the most expensive item in their collection, they're going to want to see it in person and frankly want to enjoy the fun of collecting by coming to a fair. But I guess, like, if someone did tell me, yes, I want this piece, go find me one of them, of course I could. It just would be a little more forced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'll send out previews to all my collectors before fairs. They'll come back. There's usually a second round. There's a back and forth. Often after that dialogue is continuing, I'll send them more things that are in a similar price point that I think are wonderful for their collection. They have to talk it over with the spouse often, like that kind of thing. And then we go to the song and dance and close. That's a natural rhythm of my life because it's just part of my job.
Yeah. So how did you, I think we need to talk about your background, because I have a feeling that art advisor, either they come from a business background or they come from a more art, history of art background. How did you end up at being an advisor?
Oh, I'm definitely the art history. I got my master's at Christie's Education back in 2011. That was Renaissance to post-war art with a focus on collecting cultures in the early 20th century. When I came to New York, because I didn't have a visa, people started bringing me art. And then I had to make a pivot to say, if this is the kind of money you're spending, let's look at contemporary art, because the quality that you're going to get for it is off the charts, right? And slowly I've built from there.
Interesting. So what do you like most about your job?
Oh, I love providing access to people, access to art for people who thought it was not for them for whatever reason. I noticed that we're dealing with a lot of projections about class and wealth and status whenever someone's collecting art. And I think it's fascinating how, I mean, all these people have some degree of wealth, right?
Yeah, of course they do.
It's relative.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of the time there is a certain projection that they're not a collector when they first come to me, even though they want art, right? And that always I find kind of fascinating, that there's always this other obscene wealth individual who is a connoisseur themselves and spends all their time going to art fairs, and that is the only version of an art collector that exists, and kind of branching them with art that stimulates them intellectually, emotionally, is part of something special, right? Like if they had the time and I just brought a client out here, suddenly they're sitting next to Brad Pitt, Pharrell, Beyonce, also got the same artwork, right? And of course you can't guarantee due to timing that once you acquire that artwork, you're going to be sitting next to them. But it is part of that, right? There is something quite magical about those layers.
That's interesting. Do you think that LA would be different, considering it's not New York? LA doesn't have the same kind of history that New York does. So that it would actually be kind of easier for the new collectors to find the art?
In some ways, yes. I think the art scene here is a little more open. In New York, there is something culturally that I feel like we go to the shows that we know are going to be good. And I think LA has a little bit room for experimentation. I suspect because of the economics, as we mentioned, that artists can have real studios here without necessarily being already blue chip, right? Galleries can have space here. And also, there's a huge creative industry here. So you have people with some degree of wealth who are some form of creative or artistic themselves, a little bit more curious, does have the space and potential funds to acquire something. So it's a fun time. Definitely.
It's definitely find time. And I think it's interesting for all the artists who have the access to what the entertainment industry needs. People actually make stuff here.
Yes.
That is very fascinating in itself.
Yes.
The city might look a bit ugly at times, but behind that whatever wall, someone is making a movie set.
Yes.
The making of, making things happen, making things. I think that's very interesting in itself in the city.
Definitely.
And I don't know if New York has that to the same degree.
It's just harder, honestly. And I think it, because of the space and because it's not, there's no manufacturing. And here in LA, of course, like, I'm not sure if you saw the Sterling Ruby show.
No.
It's Ruth Maggers.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He has all those heads that were based on prop making in kind of this horror movie, Americana, which is something that's disappearing. Started playing with those. And I think I wasn't sure how I liked it when I first saw it. And Sterling Ruby was very well spoken when discussing his work. And I was really impressed with, after leaving, how the aesthetic kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if that would have the same effect, for example, in New York or a slightly more closed in city. I'm not sure. It was the right place to show that work and.
Yeah, I mean, that's
have that dialogue.
Yeah. But if we go back to Freeze, do you think that the LA version of things, was it different to what you've experienced in London? You've been to Hong Kong and then New York, of course, many times.
Yes. Well, definitely it's fresher, right? There's a little bit the newness and the anticipation of something that hasn't existed before. That definitely had that energy. And of course, a little bit of the tension of people not expecting how to handle certain things. I mean, the place was at capacity. Every single gallery you went to would be calling the VIP desk, trying to get more VIP cards. And of course, ahead of time, everyone's like, this has to be bogus, some kind of trick. And then when we get to the actual fair, kind of recognizing, wow, this is small. So maybe they were filled, who knows? And the like bizarre having one of your collectors bring in another one you don't know or something. Just strange things like that because it's new, right? Like they don't have all the kinks completely figured out just yet, and being part of that serendipity and happenstance. And I think it's good for the most part.
Do you think this was a success?
I do. I know a lot of the general gossip is, where will it be next year? Because it just doesn't seem like Paramount Studios can hold the kind of large size crowd that they magnificently were able to hold and continue to grow. But it also now is like a destination fair, right? We have satellite fairs that people went to. There was Freeze, there was ALAC, there was all kinds of gallery crawls where people are trying to see every single show the same way that it would happen in London during Freeze Week or Art Basel Miami Beach. It's exciting.
Cool. I'm so glad to hear that. I had a very good time. And it was also very nice to meet you. So I hope that we will do this again. We should do this again.
We will, yeah.
1 year from now, when Freeze is back, we should do this again and see if it's different.
It's a date. I look forward to it.
Cool. See you then. Bye.